This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dave McNair joins me live in studio. He's a reporter over at The Hook, online at readthehook.com. And just yesterday, he posted the very latest installment in the Garbage Wars, the local RSWA, the Ravenna Solid Waste Authority, taking on Pete Van Linde's privately owned recycling facility. And thank you for being here on short notice.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
Thanks for having me.
Great story. It continues to unfold, and it continues to get more egregious. And I have trouble wrapping my mind around the fact of what these folks are doing. These folks who are paid by us, and they use our public money to do this stuff. But anyway, get everybody up to speed. There was a meeting recently, right? The Ravenna Solid Waste Authority under Director Tom Frederick, who's also overseeing all the water stuff as well. Mm-hmm. He's overseeing the garbage stuff too. Mm-hmm. And what's the very latest?
On Tuesday, last Tuesday, they had a board meeting, which they've been discussing the idea of privatizing the Ivy transfer station. That's the what used to be the Ivy landfill. Out in Ivy, of privatizing that, of handing it over to a private company to run it, because they don't really have the funds to improve it themselves, because it's, according to the facility manager over there, it's on the verge of collapse.
And so financially,
they're concerned about, well, the machinery actually.
Oh, really?
Is. Yeah, and so it really needs an upgrade, and they've been discussing, you know, privatizing that operation.
Which is sort of overseen by the RSWA, which is right. Charlottesville and Albemarle, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And but at the meeting on Tuesday, they actually, for the first time, seriously discussed the idea, the possibility of enacting a flow control ordinance to go along with a request for proposals for a private facility there.
Now, what, Dave, is flow control? What does that mean as far as the garbage is concerned?
Well, flow control is something, what it does is it allows a government entity to force haulers in the area to take all the trash to their facility. And it makes it, you know, they direct trash in the area to their government facility. And this was a It sounds kind of strange, but it actually in 2007, the Supreme Court okayed this practice in a ruling. They determined that because a government is charged with, you know, protecting the safety of its citizens and ensuring that, you know, recycling is done properly and trash collection is done properly, they ruled that flow control ordinance were legal, and they became law.
And it's another example of a government-funded monopoly, government getting involved in the private enterprise and creating a monopoly, which they do. I mean, we have, you know, that happens, phone companies and,
right,
and
right.
Cable now, companies and
yeah, the ruling,
long history of this.
Right. The ruling is, you know, that, yes, it sort of creates a monopoly, but they said, you know, that what the government is responsible for sort of trumps that.
Yeah,
in terms of collecting waste properly.
But this would not be a government facility. They're talking about getting out of the garbage business, putting out an RFP, a request for proposal for private haulers to take it over. But they would basically, in bringing in a private hauler to take over Ivy, they would also, they're discussing the idea, if I hear you right, of giving them as well this flow control that's saying, okay, if you take it over, we're going to have policy so that all the garbage haulers in the area have to come to you, and they can't go to Pete Van Linde's site in Fluvanna.
Right. They discussed doing this. There's a little bit of lack of clarity maybe in the Supreme Court ruling, because it doesn't sort of completely define what publicly owned is. And so at the meeting at on Tuesday, the board, Trash Authority discussed creating a publicly owned facility that was subcontracted to a private entity to build and operate.
Oh gosh!
So it's kind of a way to sort of get around that ruling, because the ruling is that only like public facilities, government owned facilities, can enact flow control, but you know, what's government owned? If you you know, are publicly owned and then subcontract out, you know, the building of it and the running of it, then you perhaps could enact flow control.
Yeah,
it's a little opening in the law. It's sort of untested. Like, if you know, maybe if they did it, somebody might be able to challenge it. You know, it's a little opening in the law which would allow them to enact flow control, and they discussed, you know, that scenario at the meeting.
We're talking with Hook reporter Dave McNair. His work is online at readthehook.com. The very latest about the garbage wars and the Ravana Solid Waste Authority under the leadership of Tom Frederick. This is just amazing. I think as more people find out about this, that their public money is being spent in this way, it's unbelievable. It just seems to me like a no-brainer that the city and the county would say, you know what? Private enterprise is doing this much better than we ever did. Why do we need to be in this business anymore? But they're not doing that. They're thinking, okay, let's sue that guy out of business, and then we'll bring in our own private guy and make them the monopoly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the irony of the discussion is that, you know, they're talking about privatizing the facility there, or trash collection, as a way, one of the board members said, is to take the burden off the government. But meanwhile, there is a private trash collection facility owned by Peter Vanderlyn, who happened to be in the room at the meeting with his jaw on the floor.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Unbelievable. So they want to bring in a hand-picked garbage company to take over Ivy.
You would imagine it would have to be an RFP. It would have to be an open RFP.
To be
legal. And so, but you know, who's going to build a facility there? Probably one of the big waste companies,
like a BFI or something.
Like a Waste Management or an Allied. Or, I mean,
now they're also still suing Pete Vanderlinde as well, right?
That's still well underway. Yeah, both sides show no signs of backing off. You know, as you know, it's become more of a $20 million lawsuit because the authority is suing him under RICO law, you know, and claiming that...
Organized crime statutes.
Right, claiming that he and his employees conspired to bilk, you know, the authority out of their tipping fees.
Yeah. Laws that were written to help bring down the mob are being used against Pete Vanderlinde's private garbage facility in Flumana.
And granted, that's been common lately. It's been used, you know, that way. But it is pretty heavy-handed.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah. To say the least. This is amazing. So what's been the reaction of some of the folks at the meeting? I mean, did anybody stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not what government should be doing?
No. In fact, you know, as I listened, I had to say, wait a minute, are they talking about enacting flow control? Because there was nobody that really expressed any, you know, sort of outrage about it or nobody that openly opposed it there. I mean, it was just a discussion about the possibility of doing it. But I can't imagine that anybody there didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. What about Ken Boyd? I mean, he's the big conservative now in the county and running for, you know, as a Republican for Congress. You would have thought he, out of everyone there, would have stood up and said, I am not going to let this happen on my watch.
No, he didn't do that, but he did. He raised the privatization issue first. He seems to be for that, but he did say that he does not like the idea of, you know, forcing people where to take their trash. He wishes they could, you know, put an RFP out for a private company, and the process would be market driven. They'd want to do it, you know, on their own, just like Pete Vanderlyn is doing it. but he was told by a number of other board members that not many companies would go for this scenario if flow control wasn't included.
Yeah, of course they want the government to hand them a monopoly.
Right. They. You know, otherwise they're having to assume quite a bit of risk.
Yeah, it called private enterprise and the free market. Gosh, they don't like those rules.
But then, you know, if they wanted to just do it themselves, why would they need the authority? You know, if they wanted to build a trash facility, why, you know, why would they partner with the authority?
This is absolutely amazing, the more you think about it. And then when you put this up next to everything that the water group has done under Tom Frederick's leadership as well, you just scratch your head, you know? This is a very... I think when historians look back on this time, they're going to see a lot of mistakes, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm still sort of scratching my head, even as I write about it. I mean, I would have thought this story would have gone away months ago or a year ago, but it just keeps growing.
Yeah. Now, tell us, too, the initial reaction on the part of the Ravana Solid Waste Authority when Pete Vandalinda opened his recycling facility was, well, we don't really have to worry about him because he doesn't take household waste, and that's what we do. But that's about to change, right?
Yeah, the timing of this discussion about flow control is peculiar because it comes at a time almost exactly within a few days where Pete Vandalin is going to launch an operation at his facility out in Zion Crossroads that will be able to accept household trash for recycling, something he's been working on for a long time and has invested a lot of money in doing. And he's ready to launch that, you know, in a few days.
In a few days, then, where private haulers will be able to take their garbage there. It's a whole heck of a lot cheaper than taking it down to Ivy,
exactly,
to the government facility.
Exactly.
And plus, with his machine down there, the vast majority of the garbage that goes there will be recycled.
That's what he hopes. Yeah, it's a new thing. I mean, I talked to some haulers who, you know, are kind of skeptical about it. So how is this going to work? You know, how are they going to recycle the, you know, ooey gooey garbage, you know? And but others are going to be swayed by the fact that he's so much cheaper, you know, to bring it there. And at least there's a chance that some of it will be recycled,
yeah,
and not make it to a landfill.
Well, I can tell you, as a homeowner in the county, it's very, very appealing to me to see my garbage go to Pete's facility in Fluvanna, because most of it will be recycled, and I don't have to separate it out. I throw it in the same can just like I'm throwing the garbage out. I put the recycling and the garbage in the same can, mm-hmm, and it goes to Pete's, and it's as if I separated it all out.
Right.
You know?
Well, keep in mind, there's a distinction here. It doesn't mean you're going to put recycling and your garbage in the same can. You still want to, like, for instance, I use Time Disposal, which now uses Vandalin, and they said their recycling program is just going off the charts because of using his facility. But like, I put out my garbage, I have a garbage bin and then a recycling bin, and I put the commingled recycling in one bin and then the garbage in the other. And you know, you wouldn't, I mean, Vandalin isn't saying just put all your...
I misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah.
You could put all your recycling in the same bin.
Right. All the commingle, all the recycling. Like, you don't have to separate all that, but it's not an operation where you're just going to throw everything.
So the eggs don't go in with the glass.
No, no. I mean, he'll probably find, when he goes through the household garbage, he'll find commingled recycles because people do that. You know, he'll find like a Coke can in there.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll be pulled out. See, that's the whole idea, is like going through... You know, and a big thing that he was talking about is he's hoping to be able to pull a lot of material out for composting, food waste, and also burning for, you know, at electric plants that are starting to do that.
This is just amazing. And when we had him here in studio, I'm still amazed that this is going on right here in our backyard and that we can participate in this. This is totally leading the nation and is the new national model for how you get rid of your garbage. And it's right here in Central Virginia, and yet we're seeing the folks in local government fight that tooth and nail.
Right.
They don't want to recognize the fact that this is the new way of doing it, and it's a private business. A guy came up with it, his own money. He did it himself, and he's beating them at their game, and they will not. They just won't let him win. They won't let the market win and recognize that, you know, we need to move on. They're suing him, and now they want to create a government sponsored monopoly to run him out of business.
Yeah, one of the incredible ironies is like, you know, while he's sort of changing the trash, you know, landscape dramatically, people are just flocking to him with his, you know, stuff. Haulers are flocking to him. When you're at a meeting, at the trash meeting, you wouldn't know he existed.
They just don't mention him.
He's not mentioned. He's not part of the discussion.
Even though he's the gorilla in the room.
Sometimes vaguely they refer to that private facility out in Zion Crossroads, but it's not really being, you know, acknowledged what an impact, or at least not directly being acknowledged, what an impact he's having on the trash business in the area.
It's just amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah, I guess you could be.
Yeah, it's just so egregious that these folks are doing that on our dime. That's what makes me even more angry.
My theory.
We're paying for this.
Yeah. Well, my theory is that a lot of like people in government and in power seem to believe that he is guilty of what the authority is accusing him of in his lawsuit.
So they just start with the assumption that, well, here's a criminal, so we don't want to do business with a criminal.
That might be it. That might be it. As you can imagine, it's hard to get anybody to talk about the lawsuit, especially, you know, elected officials. They just say we can't talk about that lawsuit. But
yeah.
But I've heard from, you know, through the grapevine and from some sources that, you know, they do think that, you know, the authority has a case and that he's guilty.
What would happen if he was found guilty? And
I guess
remind
he'd have to
folks,
pay a lot of money.
Yeah, you know? Well, he would just pay a lot of money, but it's not like he's going to be out of business or anything. I mean, his facility will still be taking garbage.
Yeah, and sort of you think the trial for this is supposed to be next year, like in June, and you'd imagine by then he's going to be, you know, rocking with his business. I guess if he lost it, he'd have to pay, and I don't know whether it would destroy his business, but. But the flow control thing certainly would if that passed.
I would be, I think I'd seldom do a call to action on this radio program because it's just not my style. And I think people are smart and they can decide what they want to do for themselves. But I would be shocked if people didn't stand up and go to these RSWA meetings and call Tom Frederick out and Judy Mueller in the city and call these folks out and ask them to explain what the hell they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. This is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it unbelievable.
Seems that way. I think it also has to do with the fact that I don't think people are really thrilled about talking about trash. You know, I think it's something they just want to, you know, forget. It's not a very popular subject sort of politically.
It was like slaughtering chickens.
Right, exactly.
Or making
the slaughtering
sausage.
Chicken operation out in Nelson County.
Yeah. Well, but this is a lot of money. And again, I go back to this point. The lawsuit against him and now this talk about creating a government-sponsored monopoly to run him out of business, very heavy-handed, thinking of whatever they can do, all of that is on our dime. Every bit of that is on our dime. We're paying for that. We're paying our local governments to fight private enterprise and watching them try to run this guy out of business when he is clearly the 21st century model of garbage.
And as I pointed out before, they're talking about privatization and what a good idea it is, and they've got a guy in town who's already built a pretty amazing facility. Obviously, you know, they're suing him as well, so maybe it's a little hard to have discussions about a partnership.
It's amazing.
But you know, you would think there'd be some discussion, with authority board members or with county or city government about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave McNair, read the article in The Hook this week, and you can read it online right now at readthehook.com. It's called Flow Blow, Wasteworks May Seek Trash Monopoly. Dave McNair, reporter for The Hook. Dave, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. Fantastic work.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.